Never thought I'd be so far from home. Never thought a love could grow so cold. Never thought we had to run through burning fire. Never thought I had to miss you and I.
Hello, we are The Promise of Love, bringing to you The Love Effect.
A podcast that brings you real insight and real stories about real relationships.
All right, fellas, nod your head if you've ever been left by a woman that you love, or at least a woman that you thought that you loved at the time. Do you ever wonder, was it the right decision to let her leave? Or was that decision even up to you? I mean, what if you had fought for her? Would that have made a difference? Would she have stayed if you had tried harder? And do you still have a chance?
So what you're saying is the woman leaving the man? What about vice versa? Or we're just talking about she leaves this time?
Yes, we'll talk
about... Oh, I'm sorry. That was a segue into the next one.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Next time we're going to do what do you do when he leaves you?
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, she's leaving the man.
Okay, so enlighten me.
See, I used to have the perspective that if she left you, she was not meant for you. But you can't get to that conclusion too quickly. The real question is whether or not you have gotten to a place that you're over and done. And if you're not there yet, there might still be a chance. And if you do reach to that point, if you have gotten to that point, how do you find closure such that you can move on?
So how do you find closure?
Well, you know how I am. I like to have like 3 and 5 step processes, you know, just to keep it simple. Oh, come on, that's easy to remember.
Really?
It's easier than remembering random stuff. Okay, like first of all, you gotta determine if you were meant to be together.
Okay, and how do you do that?
If you're fighting for something and it falls apart and you keep fighting, you gotta ask yourself, am I fighting for something where I'm supposed to be? Or am I really fighting to have the fleshy desires of my heart? So I encourage you to take a look at your marriage and your mission. First of all, you know the phrase, what God put together, let no man put asunder.
Yes, I've heard that a few times.
Yeah, and a lot of times people think that refers to any marriage, but a lot of marriages were not put together by God.
This is true.
One of the things you have to ask yourself is, did God really put us together? And I don't mean the signs that make you think that you're on the right path. I mean, how much confirmation do you really have? How much of your process was really God's process? And how much of it was your desires trying to superimpose signs and symbols on top of it? Then on top of that, what about your mission? You know, someone just this past weekend said to me, if you're not called, you can't stay. If you're not called to a mission that the marriage is on, then when you get to rough times, it's easy to just walk away from the marriage because there is no mission binding things together. So what does your marriage stand for? What were you working towards together? There are going to be times, it's always going to be rough times in a relationship.
True that.
And so whenever you get to those rough times, what allows you to see above the storm? What allows you to see the sunlight that's just still shining so brightly above the dark clouds?
God.
Oh, yes, God. But what mission, what God-given mission do you have to keep allowing you to push through that storm to get to the calm, open seas?
Enlighten me.
Well, for each person, it's going to be different, right?
Okay.
Sometimes one person comes into a marriage or into a relationship saying, hey, I love you, I'm really attracted to you, and so I'll just go along with what you're doing. Because, you know, it's fun. This might not be something that I'm called to, but I like what you're doing, and I like spending time with you, so I'll do that thing so I can spend time with you. But you have an amazing passion for it. I just want to spend time with you. Now, these things are not wrong, but you do have to ask yourself, how long will you stay passionate about it? Will you grow and will you develop a passion for that thing? Or is it just something that you're allowing yourself to do to, I guess, be on the in with the person that you love? Are you called to that? Another thing to ask is, are you really married?
Wait, what?
All right, so first of all, sometimes we call ourselves being married, but we really don't go through the Christian rituals that God would recognize as marriage. For example, a common law marriage.
Thank you, because I was just getting ready to say that. Continue.
Like a common law marriage. Okay, you might be legally married because you lived together for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But did you ever take covenant vows?
That would be a common law marriage.
Right?
Yes.
And there are times there are things that would actually are grounds to end a marriage. You know, we've talked about being abandoned by a non-believer, mm-hmm. and we've talked about infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
But if those things have not happened and you just go down to the courthouse and sign some papers and get legally divorced. You know, I had a friend once and she and her husband decided, you know what, we just don't make each other happy anymore. And so we're going to get divorced and we're going to go our separate ways. Several years later, like 7, 8, 10 years later, they came back and they reconciled and they started dating each other. And they started asking, well, should we get married again? And I argued, you probably didn't get divorced to begin with. You did legally, but since those factors were not a part of your divorce, they weren't reasons for your divorce, you have not had a divorce that God would recognize. So you're actually still married from a Christian perspective.
Really?
It says that if you divorce for any reason other than sexual immorality or being abandoned by a non-believer, mm-hmm. you know, God does not recognize the divorce. So if God doesn't recognize the divorce, you still married.
Interesting.
So you have to look at how did you marry? You have to look at how did you separate? And that's when you can start to assess whether or not you're really married.
Okay.
If you have the chance to do something again, whether it be with the same person or with the next person, I definitely encourage you to ask yourself, are you both called to the same mission? It doesn't have to be a grandiose mission. It could be a mission of raising these kids. It could be a mission of serving the church together in a certain capacity. It could be mission work. It could be common business. But if you have something that binds you, that allows you to look above just the smallness of the two of you to something larger, then that starts to make for a longer lasting marriage. Then there's step two.
Yeah, what is step two?
Step two is determining what need did she have that you did not fulfill.
Interesting.
Now, this is not a list of things for you to fix. I know that sounds weird, but this is not meant for you to put together a fix-it list. This is not a to-do list or a honey-do list. It's really a measure of your communication. If you don't know what you did to make her storm off, if you don't know why she's upset with you, if you don't know why she wanted to leave, then that is an indication that your relationship has some deep-seated trouble. In order for you to have any chance of working through anything, you have to be able to communicate. And in some cases, it could be every time you try to address something, she brings up something else from a different angle, and you're constantly trying to keep up with the things that you're doing wrong, and you've got the will and you've got the heart to fix things, but you don't have the ability to because she's constantly shifting and changing the target. If that's your situation, you have to ask yourself, is this the long-term relationship that you want to have? However, if you are able to, you sit down, and even if it takes some meditation and some prayer and some aha moments and talking with whether it be a counselor or someone in the church, a brother, or someone who understands deep relationships and marriage, as you talk with them and you unpack these things, if you start to have that aha moment of, wow, I could have done this. This is what she wanted from me. That's what she needed from me. Then you have some basis to work on improving yourself. But if it was always a cat and mouse game of what do I need to fix next? And why is what I'm fixing never good enough for you? Then there's something else going on there that's going to be very difficult to address. And that might be part of the reason why she left. But number three, if she has left and you are truly married, in the Christian sense of the word, we are supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And one of the things Christ is known for is pursuing the church. Even whenever the church decides to leave, Christ pursues. He doesn't force anything. You never see Christ capturing people and bringing them back to the church, but he does pursue in a very loving way. In a very uplifting way. So here's an idea.
And what's that?
Once a week, select a Bible verse from a book of the Bible and write her an uplifting message. And these are not things that are trying to convince her to come back. These are not words of saying, oh, I just love you immensely. My life isn't the same without you. No, this is not an outcry, pouring out, please come back kind of letter. These are biblically uplifting messages that are affirming and point out some of the beauty that is in her.
Sounds amazing.
Now there's 66 books in the Bible. I'd suggest take 16 weeks to do this, one per week.
Okay.
And do one message every four books. And in these messages, like I said, you are affirming her. You are validating her. You're not pleading with her to come back. You're not begging her to come back. There's no messages like, we were meant to be together. None of that garbage. She's all past that. What you're showing her is a level of love that a lot of people have trouble expressing, which is agape love. It doesn't matter if you feel that you can or cannot love me right now. I still love you. And I don't have to run you through with adorations like a sword to show it. I can simply express my love in a godly observance of the person that you are. Now, this is going to do a couple of things for you. First of all, it is going to allow you to truly see the godly, the spiritual beauty in her. Another thing it's going to do is it's going to allow the temperature to reduce. Whatever heated arguments were going on, you can start to lower that temperature and you can start to talk to her at a very calm and sincere level. This also gives you time. The 16 weeks is there to give you enough time to realize, hey, I really do love this person, or, you know, I'm kind of getting tired of this. You'll start to see some responses from her, and a response could be a lack of response. Mm-hmm. So whether there's silence or an epiphany or a, hey, let's meet up together and talk. I didn't realize you saw all of this in me. Who knows what's going to come across? But you know what? This is not a formula to win her back. This is a formula for you to express to her love in a very godly way. And at the end, if she does not return, you can truly say that you pursued her, that you did what you needed to do. It takes two for a relationship to work out. It takes two for people to come back together and reconcile.
Can you say that again? Takes, for the people in the back.
It takes two to bring a couple back together. It takes two. It takes both of you to reconcile. Because if you're the only one, what's the phrase you like to use?
If you're the only one that is standing in the ring and you're fighting with no one, why are you even in the ring?
You know, it's like you're fighting by yourself.
Yeah, by yourself. You're fighting the air.
Both of your hearts have to be in it.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Now, I know I said three steps, but there is a fourth step. This is biblical as well, and it is to give her a writ of divorce.
A what?
A writ of divorce. It is actually used, that phrase is in the Bible. Sometimes it's also referred to as a certificate of divorce.
Okay.
Now, you could do this whether you were married or sort of a breakup as, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend. She left And what this really is an acknowledgement that I recognize that you are gone. I'm gonna stop pursuing you.
Okay.
And part of the reason for this is when you get to this point of being able to do this, to give her in writing, I wish you the best. I love you, I've got this agape love for you, and that's never going away. But at the same time, you're recognizing that you're moving on. And the last thing you want is for her to have gone away and you get through your mourning period, and then 9 months later, 8 months later, 12 months later, you're in another relationship and you're actually in a loving relationship that was unlike anything you ever had before, and she comes back. And there's all these questions of, I thought she was in your past, and she's asking you why I thought you loved me, and that can just make things messy.
Yeah. Real messy.
So if you can provide a written, it doesn't have to be mean, it doesn't have to be pointed or aggressive at all. It should be nice and gentle, but acknowledging that I realize this is what you needed, this is what you wanted, and I truly do wish you the best. Simply put, you just don't want her coming back to interfere with a relationship that's really meant for you. And if you've gotten to this point and she has not returned, I have to say that's when you can say she was not meant for you.
So, honey, wouldn't our course help people avoid this?
Yeah, but you have to do everything. I mean, you have to do the whole course. Don't take shortcuts. Don't see one little piece of it and think, hey, this is great. I'm going to find true love just on this one module. No, all the pieces fit together and they work together. I've seen people say, hey, I've made a list of my perfect person, of everything that I want. And then I met her and I married her. I'm like, okay, but did you go through the step of vetting her, of her friends telling you how you changed when you're with her? Have you gone through the process of going through an analysis of, do they have a psychological disorder? They might be a sociopath, and those things will come up. They could be a natural cheater. They could be any number of things that you just won't get out of doing one module. So as you do the whole course, not only do you get to spend that time with her, but you also get to understand and know her at a deep level so you can have that confidence that this is a long-term relationship.
So check out hope.stepstofindtruelove.com.
That's right. This course is going to help you make spirit-led decisions. I know it sounds like if you've got a course, an online pre-recorded course for everybody, that it's not really customized to you, but actually it is. It is. And the Spirit is going to walk you through that if you submit and surrender yourself to that process. But yes, heartbreak is avoidable.
So let me get this straight. If a woman leaves you, mm-hmm. you need to, A, determine if you're really married.
That's right. You may have gotten together under circumstances that really did not solidify the marriage in a Christian way. Or you may have separated in a way that may or may not have dissolved the marriage in a way that God would recognize. Are you
really and married? B, see if she communicated her needs enough for you to make the changes that she needed for you to make?
Yeah, I mean, if you are left wondering, what did she need from me? Chances are you're going to spend a lifetime trying to meet her needs, and those needs are going to constantly shift. So if number two is not there, it might be better to let her go.
And C, pursue her with biblical affirmations.
That's right. If nothing else, she will see the love that you have for her. She will see how committed you are. She will see you pursuing her, fighting for her in a gentle way. And if that does not win her back, then your heart is meant for somebody else. So you got it. And if a steady stream of affirmations does not give her the encouragement to come back, well, it's time to be clear about your closure on this and move on.
And then find true love.
Find true love.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to The Love Effect. Respectfully, we ask you to hit that subscribe button to help us keep this going. And if you'd really like some detailed guidance on how to find and confirm true love, come visit us at stepstofindtruelove.com. That's www.stepstofindtruelove.com. Blessings to you.